All right, good morning. Glad to have you here. Hope you enjoyed, right? Hope you enjoyed worship together. And, right? And I am telling you, I don't know. We figured out, I think, halfway through December. Uh-oh. We got a Sunday in January. Uh-oh. And everybody's gone and busy and doing things. And they said, ask Rob. And that started everything from there. And so then I find it interesting. Annabeth walks up to me and goes, that's my music teacher up there. Like, oh, see, it's small world. It's just amazing. I just love how all these things come together. God is working in great ways, and it's awesome to see what he is doing. So we are into worldview, and today we're going to start answering one of the questions that we talked about. Remember, we said everyone has a worldview. You might not know what it is, because a lot of people don't. I'm just living. I don't know what it is, but everybody has a worldview. Everybody has a way in which they see the world, and ultimately affects the way you behave. That's the center of everything, and what we really see in everybody is just their behavior. We see the things they do. And a lot of times we want to talk about that, and we want to focus on it. Centered the worldview that is pushing all of that. We said that everybody has a worldview. So we start this week with this first question, who am I? Who am I? And I asked you last week just to think about this and how you might answer this, how you would answer the question. Someone came up to you and said, who are you? And you might have an answer. And those answers might include either your job. I find it very interesting. I don't know why. I try to get out of the habits. Oh, who are you? I'm Pastor Ed, right? What do I start with? My job title, right? That's what I start with. Sometimes we do that. We define ourselves by our job. Who are you? Well, I'm a plumber. I'm an electrician. I do this. I do. That's how we define ourselves. You know, the problem's going to be one day when you're not that, right? What happens when you retire and you're no longer that? What are you then? I don't know. That's the problem when our identity and how we answer this question gets wrapped up in our job. Sometimes it gets wrapped up in our roles. I'm a mom, I'm a dad, so what happens? Because, you know, they do grow up. They do grow up, they go to college, and they move away. I mean, right? It's just a dirty trick all the time. They do this to you, and you're like, ah, all right? And you have this role that you think is so established, and then it changes. What are you supposed to do at that point? So you have these roles. Then sometimes that's how we define ourselves. That's how we tell ourselves to someone else, I'm this or that. Sometimes it's our hobby. I'm telling you, I'm going to love someday somebody comes up to me and says who I am, and I can just say, I'm a car guy. I own a classic Mustang, and it's awesome, okay? That's what I love to do, okay? And that's why you guys were so generous and bought me a diecast model this big, okay? About the only thing that can fit in the driver's seat is my California Raisin figurine that's in my office, and some of you will know what that is, okay? That's the only thing that fits in it. So, right, but you guys understand, I would love that. Love that. Some of you people are. And sometimes it's our hobbies, right? They're the craft person. They're the artistic person. And sometimes we just let these things define us. And I just want us today to dig a little deeper because there's something at the core of everything. Gosh, if we could answer the question this way, I think it would just do immense things in us. We would live differently. We would think differently. We would treat others differently. We would look at ourselves differently if we just got hold of this idea and lived this out and said this and this was a part of our life. So we said we were going to be in Colossians chapter 1, another kind of creed. If you have a Bible that kind of splits stuff in, you will find this section kind of indented. Now, we don't know if it was a hymn, it was a creed, it was something that was said in the early church, and Paul pulls it out here to the church at Colossus and says, here's just what I want you to remember, okay? And all those verses we gave to you last week, there's a sheet on the back table if you want to take it with you and kind of memorize it. The simplest way to do that is read it over and over. Put in your Bible app, read it over and over, listen to it over and over, and that's the easiest way. Listen, there's some things you remember, and it's not because you said, oh, I got to memorize this. It's because you heard it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's why. If I would tell some of you, now this only probably applies to some of you, but I would say you deserve a break today at McDonald's. See, did you memorize? I got to memorize this, right? I got to test on this week. I got to memorize this because my teacher's going to ask, you deserve a break today at what, okay? No, It was because it was over and over and over and over again. It's not that you've got to be forced to memorize something. It's you just got to repeat it over and over again. That's why we know lines to movies that we've watched too many times. And we know these things, right? We know these things because we've just watched that too many times. And your spouse knows it because it's on and you're saying the lines before they say the lines. So that just happens. And so that's all you have to do. That's why we just urge you just to do that. Just repeat it and go through it so that will just kind of stick within your memory. And you go, oh, look how this happens. Look how this takes place. Now today, we're going to focus on these two verses, and then we're going to see how David kind of helps us answer this question. So, who am I? He is the image of the invisible God. Now, isn't that a weird place to start? Wait a minute, I thought you said you were going to help me understand who I am. I thought this was going to be identifying day. I thought today I was going to get to find myself and find out who I was. Yes, and you have to start with Jesus. That's what we're going to find out. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's an important word, all. It's everything, right? Nobody's excluded. And isn't it interesting? This shows up a couple times. For all things in heaven and on earth were created in him. All things. I find it interesting they needed to hear the word all too. Like, is there an exception? Like, did God accept things? Oh, no, I didn't create that. That's just a mess, right? I didn't do that. No, all. Three times he says all so that we would understand that it's everything. There are no exclusions. All things were created by him. All things. Visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, whether principalities or powers, all things, the fourth time, were created through him and they were for him. See, I must begin with Jesus and not me to answer that question. See, I want to begin with me. Well, who am I? What do I like? What things do I enjoy? What flavor ice cream do I want, right? That's what we do. We tend to start with these lists, and right, and there's all sorts of personality tests, and you've probably taken them all, whether you've taken the DISC assessment, or now the new thing is the Enneagrams, right? You know, which one are you, right? All this different stuff. There's all this stuff out there. And that's what we tend to do. Oh, I got to go figure out who I am. And we all start with me. What do I like? What are my likes? What are my dislikes? What are things I enjoy? What are things I not enjoy? What genre movies are great? What genre movies are stupid? Right? We do this because we assume to answer the question, who I am, I got to start myself. I got to start digging in and find out who I am. No, I must begin with Jesus. I must begin with the Creator. I must begin with the person who made it all so he helps me understand who I am, because I need to know who I am on God's level. On his level, so I understand, oh, everything goes out from there. Because if I start looking at my own, I'm going to say flaws, awful, there's no way I'm created, God made a mistake, if there is a creator. We just start doing all this stuff because we don't start with the right person. I've got to begin with Jesus and not me if I am going to answer that question. Now, I want you to see how David answers this question. Psalms 8 is an incredible psalm. It's an incredible psalm. Here's what I picture. I picture that David's out with the sheep. Night has fallen and the stars are just out. They say, right, and no, not in the middle of a city, but if you get out somewhere where there's no artificial light, you can see lots of stars, thousands and thousands and thousands of stars. And I'm telling you, I wonder if David's just sitting back there, because you're going to see what he's going to say. And he looks up at the sky, and he begins to write these words, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Because he's just blown away by what he sees. It's awesome. It's incredible. Okay, it'd be like going to a planetarium. And, right, going to Science Center, you know, you kidnap the guy who's doing all the hoo-ha evolution nonsense, okay? He's out of there, all right? And you're just in there enjoying the sky, okay? Enjoying the sky, enjoying the constellations, enjoying the sky that they have put up for you. Just back, wow, it's amazing, okay? Just picture David's doing that. He is just out in the field. He's looking up, and he's like, wow. And he writes these words. When I look up at the heavens, which your fingers made, and see the moon and the stars which you set in place. Because he's just up looking, go, wow, It's amazing. When I look up and I see all this stuff and I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. This is incredible. God is absolutely amazing. Of what importance? This is what he just starts saying. Because he sees big, huge, awesome. And you know what he thinks? Of what importance is the human race? Like, we're not like nothing, right? That's just where he goes. And that's what I think God's hoping that he does. Just go, wait a minute, who am I? Who am I? What important is the human race that you should even notice them? Who are we? I mean, that you would even notice, that you would even, and he continues on, what importance is mankind that you should even pay attention to them? Forget, notice, that even pay attention. When we're why would you pay attention? David's going, why would you pay attention to me? And he answers it for us. You made them, who's them? Mankind, a little less than the heavenly beings. You made them a little less than the heavenly beings. Now watch what he says next. And you crowned mankind with honor and majesty. Some of your translations will say glory. You crowned him with honor and majesty. Wow. Wait a minute. I thought he was going to start dumping on himself because he's looking up and he's seeing the sky and he's like, oh, this is amazing. Man, who am I? No, God created me and he crowned me with majesty and honor and glory. And you appoint them to rule over your creation. You have placed everything under their authority. He begins to then understand who he is. So, what does he say I am? Who am I? I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. Wow. I'm just telling you, you want to change something. Everything changed when this becomes the center, and you understand that. I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. This changes how I see myself, how I see others. This is going to change everything. Because now, right, I'm trying to figure who I am. God says, no, I'll tell you who you are. You're the crowning glory of my creation. That's who you are. I don't know anybody else. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else says. That's who you are. You're the crowning glory of my creation. And if we could get that, oh my goodness. I'm just telling you, that would just flow out and it would change everything about the way in which we believe and the things that we value and the way that we behave. It would change everything if we could just get that core right. I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. Can I tell you the opposing view? I probably just give you just a little bit because I really want to focus on the true, okay? Can I tell you what we've been told now for I don't know how long it's been. 100 years, more than 100 years, and that's in our modern era, but somebody has tried to come up with this theory all the time. I'm the result of random evolutionary processes. Boy, that makes you feel better. I mean, just get up every morning and just stand in the mirror. I'm the result of random evolutionary processes. Wow, man, isn't my life special? You talk about devaluing life. That's exactly what that does. It can only do that. It can only do that. And I don't care. I know. Listen, Bill Nye, the fake science guy, he's an entertainer. He's an entertainer. I've seen, so some of you are like, what? No, look it up. I looked it up. Do you know he's not even a scientist? Isn't that interesting? But gosh, oh, he tells us all things. And he has such a way to tell the kids, what, kids? Kids, you're the result of random evolutionary processes. Oh, gosh, doesn't that make them feel better? Boy, that just made their day. That just gave them such a place of, no. No, it didn't. But that's what they're told all the time. That's what's getting pushed all the time. I heard one person say it this way, and I hope you get it right. From the goo to you by way of the zoo. Okay, that's how it works. Okay? I'm not that smart to come up with something like that. Okay? And that's what they've done. And they teach them this. You wonder why they devalue themselves, and you wonder why then they devalue each other. That's why. Because you've just told them they're nothing. You just told them they're just chance. Actually, you could also say it this way. I am whoever I believe myself to be, and I determine that. If I believe myself to be a mistake, I'm just a mistake, I guess. Okay, enough of that. Right? Because this answer changes everything. I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. This means the circumstances around my birth do not get to dictate that. That happens all the time. My parents told me I was a mistake. I was adopted. My parents didn't want me. And that becomes this overarching theme over someone's life that gets to tell them, well, I guess you were nothing. I guess you weren't wanted. I guess it just turned out bad for you. No, that doesn't matter. That might happen to you. But you are the crowning glory of the creation of God. You are the crowning glory of the creation of God. No matter what circumstances, no matter what happens to you, no matter what's happening in your life, that is who you are. You are the crowning glory of the creation of God. Now, I want you to see how this plays out. You remember last week, I gave you this chart that starts with worldview, what is real, goes out to our beliefs, next is values, next is behavior. Okay, that's what happens with this. We said, let's start with the middle in the worldview, beliefs, values, behavior. Now, what everybody sees is behavior. And if we're not careful, that's all we try to be. We try to be as parents. We try to be as church leaders. We just want to modify behavior. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do. We just want to modify behavior. We've got to change behavior. What if we start back here in the center with worldview? So what does that matter? So let me give you an example. I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. That means life has intrinsic value. You don't get to define a circumstance that now devalues life because you're the crowning glory of the creation of God. Period. No exceptions to that. There isn't a circumstance. There isn't a moment. There isn't a place you can find yourself that God says, nope, that doesn't apply to you anymore. No, you are the crowning glory of the creation of God. So life has intrinsic value. That means life from start to finish. From start to finish. Isn't it interesting that God puts this stuff together? Today is the dignity of human life, the sanctity of human life Sunday, where we are supposed to remember that and remember what's happening in our own country with understanding life and when it starts and protecting it and valuing it. The same thing. Well, if you start with this, of course you are. But if that's just a clump of cells, if that's just the result of random evolutionary processes, you can do all you want. Come up with any laws you want, do whatever you want, because that's just a clump of cells. But, oh, God says no. That means life from start to finish. That means my behavior comes out dignity and worth. I have dignity and worth. Yeah, I might have had a bad day, but that bad day does not define me. My choices don't define me. The circumstances around my birth don't define me. All the stuff we've allowed people to define us with, God says, you are the crowning glory of my creation. And if you could remember that, if you could get that etched in your mirror, so the first thing you would see every day is that, and not, oh, more gray hairs. I'm looking really old. What's going on here, okay? I got to do something about this, right? If you could just see that every day, that would totally change the way you see yourself and you see the people around you. Because now all of a sudden they have dignity and worth. Why? Because they were created as being the crowning glory of the creation of God. Now they are too. They didn't get excluded from that. They are too. So now what? Well, that would change a lot of the bullying, a lot of the sinning against other people that goes on. That would just, why? Because they have dignity and worth. They're the crowning glory of the creation of God. Now I need to see them that way, and how I treat them, and how I approach them, and what I think about them, and how I think about myself. This changes everything. So what happens if you go the other way? And you go, I'm the result of random evolutionary processes. That means value is based on outcomes. I don't want to live in that world. And I realize a lot of people do. The outcome, the sum total of their life is what they think gives them value. It's what they think they have value. So guess what? When you have, and come on, this is depicted in movies all the time. Somebody's in an accident. They can't do what they used to do. Yeah, life's no more worth it. Why? Because my value is only based on the outcome. And if I can't do what I used to do, then the outcome is I can't do anything. I'm worthless. I need to go somewhere where they will just end my life. Or I'll end it myself. That's what happens so often. Why? Because you get in this thinking, I'm just a result of evolutionary processes. My value is based on outcome. That means luck and chance. Everything's just luck and chance. Luck and chance. Luck and chance. How'd it go today? Luck and chance. Boy, I was lucky. I was just lucky I had good parents. I was just lucky I was in the right place. It was all chance. It was all circumstance. It was all just a what? A big accident? Yeah, that's what comes out of that. Which means I'm just here to consume and enjoy. And if my consumption is in, if you're in the way of my consumption, I'm just going to run you over. And I'm just going to consume what I want and take what I want in spite of whatever you think. Because I'm here to consume. I'm just here to consume. I'm a result. And I have more luck and chance than you do. So I'm just going to take what I want. And if I have to shove you out of the way or do whatever I have to do to devalue, move you out of the way, take from you, I will do that. Because I'm just here to consume and enjoy. Just here to consume and enjoy. I'll just use whoever I want to use, take whatever I want to take, use up anything else that I want to use up. That's all I'll do. So what's in the middle? Is really, really, really important. It's really, really, really important. And I think for too long we've just missed it. We've gotten sucked in to a world that just tells us something else. And we listen to that message and we think, oh, I don't know if it has an impact on us. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What would happen if you just helped your kids understand? You helped your grandkids understand. You are the crowning glory of the creation of God. I don't care what the kids at school say. I don't care what you've heard in the whisperings around your home. Well, that one was unplanned. What an accident. What are we going to do now? Okay, I don't care what you heard. You are the crowning glory of the creation of God. God gets to say who you are. God gets to say if you have value. God gets to say all that. And he says you're the crowning glory of his creation. That's what God says. And that's going to change everything. I'm just going to tell you that will change absolutely everything if we could grab yourself. It'll change the way you think about others. It will absolutely change everything when we live off of this core of this center. Now, I think most of us will say, well, of course I do. Of course I believe God's creator. But I think there are so many lies from the enemy that sneak in, come on, at times through different settings, and we just lie after lie after lie, and all of a sudden we're back to chance, luck, randomness, accidents, mistakes. That's what we do. That's what we're about. That's what we just get sucked into, and we wonder why we just start then behaving and living like that. And you might wonder that too. You're like, I know my kids should know better than this. Yeah, but I'm just telling you, it's just permeated every single place around us. And it's kind of sucked in everywhere where we just lost who we are. So you are the crowning glory of the creation of God. You're the crowning glory of the creation of God. And it doesn't matter what anybody has told you. It doesn't matter what you read somewhere. That's who God says you are. Have you ever wondered why David could do some of the stuff David did? Because you start thinking, Psalms 8, okay. And there's different places where we think this might have been. And can you imagine? So when he sees Goliath, you know, and Goliath is saying what? You people are losers. You're nothing. Send somebody. What? When David goes out there, he starts mocking David. You're a dog. Who are you, right? I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. That's who I am. See, he was able to face things so differently. Okay? When all his brothers are thinking, yeah, the prophet's here. We're all going to become king. No. Right down the list. Why? Maybe it was the only one who understood who he really was. And God's like, I want that guy because he understands. He is the crowning glory of my creation. And oh, what we do with that. Woo! We had the other king who lost sight of that a long time ago. But wow, what could I do with a king who that's his heart? I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. Did David always remember that? Nope. There's quite often times he didn't. And every time it caused him to sin against somebody else, to wreck things, to destroy things. And he always, because he missed what that center was. So, would you say it once with me today? I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. Come on, you can do better than that. I am the crowning glory of the creation of God. Boy, if that could just sink into our hearts, what God might do in our hearts and lives and how we would live differently throughout the week. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everybody who this week thought of themselves as something less. The enemy whispered. The enemy used a movie that's so popular, and everybody's watched it, to just sneak in this lie. And words like accident, mistake, started sinking into our head. And we started believing that. Father, we are told over and over again, what shuts down the lie is you and your truth. We are the crown and glory of your creation. And we maybe have never heard that before. We never heard that before. Nobody bothered to tell us that. Would we understand? I pray all the parents listening, the grandparents, we got to make sure our kids know that. Because who else is going to teach them? We need to. So they understand who they are and watch how it changes their life. May we put that truth at the very core of who we are and watch how we see ourselves differently and how we see the people around us differently. Father, may you work and move in our hearts and lives as we get ready to stand up and sing the song, The Stand. Remember who you are and who you've created us to be. May we live that way. May you work in our hearts and lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our prayer team will be right over here if you'd like to pray with them. The rest of you, we invite you to stand and